Science fiction writer Kim Stanley Robinson cheered along with lots of other people when the U.S. space agency NASA landed its robotic rover on Mars. Now he says he's most interested in getting answers to the same question that's long haunted Mars watchers.
They landed on a dry lake bed with the idea that if, when it was a lake, there was bacteria alive on the bottom of the lake, it would have left the fossil layers, which would be a sign that at one time Mars had life. And then if Mars at any time had life, there would be a strong possibility that it was still alive underground somewhere near heat sources. So finding out something from Mars would give us that first data point where we could begin to get a better handle on how lonely we are in the universe.
The possibility of life on Mars has tantalized generations of storytellers, from H.G. Wells and Edgar Rice Burroughs in the late 19th and early 20th centuries to the makers of recent sci-fi action films like The Red Planet.
Mars One, Houston, you have acquired orbit. Congratulations on 182 days of smooth sailing, and welcome to Mars.
Kim Stanley Robinson has made an acclaimed contribution of his own to Mars lore with a trilogy published during the 1990s. In his novels Red Mars, Green Mars, and Blue Mars, he wrote about a 21st century expedition to colonize the planet. He believes the Martian setting is bound to attract writers like himself.
If you have a world next door to you that can be seen with the naked eye but yet is empty and full of utopian possibilities of a new society and all that might follow from that. For a science fiction writer interested in these kind of issues, it's just the perfect place.
A century ago, says Mr. Robinson, Mars was only an image in a telescope, leaving science fiction writers free to conjure up all kinds of colorful fantasies.
That idea of six-armed people on these giant canals crisscrossing a dying planet were actually based on the best scientific information that they had at that time. But when they discovered the atmosphere was 1% of Earth and entirely carbon dioxide, then clearly it was not a place where it could sustain the kind of life forms that H.G. Wells had populated the planet with.
Writers like Ray Bradbury responded to discouraging findings by imagining Mars as a place where the ghosts of alien life continued to haunt visitors from Earth. Then beginning in the 1960s, a series of unmanned probes of Mars began providing science fiction writers like Kim Stanley Robinson with a wealth of new information about the Red Planet.
In my trilogy, the planet has vast sources of water underground, which I think we are now establishing is indeed the case. But also, in the Viking era, it was pretty well agreed that the planet was dead and had never had life. And in that case, you have a big rock with a lot of water on it, fairly close to the sun. You could terraform it, essentially import to Mars all of the species and ecozones of Earth and make a planet out of it that we could then inhabit. What's happened since I wrote my books is that the possibility that there already is life on Mars really complicates that whole picture. The comforting thing to me is that my books will still stand. The possibility of terraforming will remain, no matter what we find in these subsequent explorations.
Science fiction author Ben Bova has also been following the Mars landing, wondering how well findings will match what he imagined in his 1992 novel, Mars, followed by Return to Mars.
It's a planet that is more Earth-like than any other world in the solar system, and yet it's very, very different from our world. It's a bone-dry desert from pole to pole. It's very cold, and the big question, of course, is there life on Mars, or was there once life on Mars? And in my novel, I took a novelist's prerogative and answered in the affirmative. Microscopic life, very interesting, but different forms of life exist on Mars. I think they once did.
And if life or the possibility of life does exist, what then? Both Ben Bova and Kim Stanley Robinson write about the competing interests and moral dilemmas created by the discovery of a new biological frontier in space. Kim Stanley Robinson believes that if bacteria are found on Mars, a spirited debate could follow over how it should be protected.
There are people who argue, oh, bacteria, you know, we kill millions of them with our mouthwash, et cetera, et cetera. Don't worry about it. There are other people saying, hey, life on another planet is the biggest scientific discovery we will have ever made, if we make it. And we'd have to essentially stay off Mars for a really long time until we were quite certain we knew what we were studying and so on and so forth.
In Ben Bova's fiction, the competition between those who want to study Mars and those who want to exploit it for commercial purposes is a central theme. Mr. Bova believes organizing the first human expedition to Mars will be difficult.
As I wrote in my novel Mars, you're going to need a driving spirit who cajoles the governments of Earth into spending the money to send a human expedition to Mars.
So you do foresee a time when we will colonize Mars?
I see a time when we will explore Mars. But colonize in the sense of setting up homes and shopping malls, no. I've lived in Florida too long to want to see Mars done in that way.
Ben Bova says he remains fascinated by Mars and might do another story set there in the future. Kim Stanley Robinson believes he's done writing about the planet. He's currently working on a novel about global warming set in Washington, D.C. But he says the Mars landing raises an important issue for all science fiction writers these days.
Once the whole world becomes like a science fiction novel, you wake up and you see these things on TV and you read them in the newspaper. What does the actual science fiction novel have to say that's different from ordinary American reality?
And Kim Stanley Robinson believes the most intriguing science fiction novels of the future could be the ones that explore the way science and science fiction are beginning to merge. For Coast to Coast, I'm Nancy Beardsley.